afflicted. Mine has always been to afflict the comfortable. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're turning to Luke chapter 10. Hallelujah. You think I'm kidding, don't you? Just wait, I haven't got started yet. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 10. We're going to start at verse 30. I'm not going to name names. I'm going to miss somebody, but I'm glad. Appreciate all the preacher brethren here, my friends. God bless you. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Heavenly Father, thank you today for your word. It is the lamp, it is the light, it is the guide in our lives. And I pray, God, that you would touch me and bless me and anoint me today. I realize, God, without you I can do nothing. Ask God to touch my physical body, and more than that, of course, my spirit. And let my tongue be as the pen of the ready writer. Anoint the hearts to receive the word of God. And may we be challenged to do more. In Jesus' name, and everybody said. Very familiar scripture here today that I'm sure most of us have read in our lifetime, if you're a Bible reader at all. The story about the Good Samaritan. Now, I want to preach a little while today on the taker, the faker, and the difference maker. The taker, the faker, and the difference maker. The Bible said there was a certain man. He was making it very clear this was representative of just mankind. In general, there was a certain man. And he was on his way down to Jericho. I've always talked about, preached about going down to Jericho and a type of the road to hell and a type of the road to sin. And I don't think you would twist the scriptures to preach that. But as I thought about this and meditated more on this, and the Lord was speaking to me about these thoughts, actually Jericho, they said, was a city that had no less than 12,000 priests in that city. There were 12,000 priests that lived in Jericho. On that same road that they called the Bloody Way was the priest and the Levite. And so I really think that the road is more characteristic of the road of life, the road that's traveled, that we, you know, there's a road we've all got to travel. The Levite and the priest, they were on the way to Jericho. They were there to worship. No doubt the reason why that there were robbers lurking in the way, because it was a busy road. It was well traveled. And so the robbers lurked in the side roads and in the brush, so forth, and preyed upon the travelers that went by. Hallelujah. And so this man was on the road down. I don't know. He may have not had good plans. I don't know. But I know he was traveling the road when he was attacked and he was beaten and robbed and left bloody, left by the road to die. He was left there just a taker. And I thought about life, and I want to tell you something. We're surrounded by the takers. We're surrounded with a generation that is broken by the powers of sin. We're surrounded by a generation that's lying in the ditch, and they're bleeding. They're dying of drugs. They're dying of alcohol. They're dying because they have no guide. They have no hope. They have no direction. They have nobody to help them out. And we've got a generation that's left in the ditch, and they're dying on the road to hell. We're surrounded by the takers. Hallelujah.
My God, I want to tell you something. Being raised in church and being raised in a Christian family, and you see these guys come in there and they've got piercings all over them and holes in their ears and they're stoned out. And a part of you thinks, oh God, what a creep. The other side of the coin is they're like that because they had no parents. They didn't have any church. They're broken. Sin is dragging them to the bottom. And my God, this world is filled with the bloody and the broken and the crushed and the torn and the tormented that we pass by every day. We pass by them in the grocery store. We pass by them in the lumber store. We pass by them at the gas station. They're broken by sin. Sin has robbed them. Sin has wrecked them. Sin has destroyed them. Sin has crushed them. Sin has took advantage of them. Sin has left them somewhere gasping for breath and crying for mercy. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh my God. Oh my God, I don't know. I was never in drugs. I was never in alcohol. But it seemed like somehow God has given me a compassion for people like that. Little dirty children that we pick up, heads infested with lice. And we gotta wash them. Get there, we took them in and gave them lice treatments and bought them clothes and took them out to eat. Gave them the only Christmas present that they had. Give them shoes to wear. My God, why? Because they're takers and they're broken and they need God and they need rescue. A world, I said a world that's filled with takers. To destruction always leads down. It always leaves the broken. It always leaves folks torn. It always leaves folks mangled. It always leaves folks bleeding. It always leaves folks dying. It always leaves folks on the bottom crying out, my God, somebody help me. Oh, I've got to help me. I'm going to preach. Just stay with me now. I want to tell you, John 10:10 said, the thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and to destroy. That sums up the devil. That sums up his plan for your life. He wants to kill you. He wants to steal you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to kill your name. He wants to rob you of your virtue. He wants to rob you of your joy. He wants to destroy all the peace of your heart. Destroy your marriage. Destroy your life. Destroy your business. Destroy your church. Destroy your family. He's a thief and he's lurking to break you down and leave you broken in the ditch of sin. Got a call. I think it was Wednesday night. Working at the church. Got a call. A man that went to my son-in-law's church. Brother Sam's church. They left out and moved out. Got mad and puffed on down some other place. He went back to his drinking. Wednesday night, he drove to a car lot where he worked. Took a pistol, put it under his chin, pulled the trigger. He's still living by the mercy of God. But oh, all I could think was, Charlie, there you are. The thief got a hold of you. He's got you mangled. He's in a hospital. He's dying. He's needing mercy. He's needing God. I want to tell you something. We've all seen it. We've got loved ones. We've got neighbors. We've got sons. You've got daughters. You've got friends. And they're broken. And they're takers. Hallelujah. Then we've got a world full of fakers. I said we've got a religious world that's full of fakers. Hallelujah. The Bible said the priest came down. He came down the road, came down where he was. This is my opinion. The Bible said the man was half dead. The Bible didn't say he was dead. So if he was half dead, he was half alive. I can tell you for me, and Brother Webb, if I was half dead and still half alive, if I was lying in the ditch and I heard footprints coming down the dusty road, I think I'd have done probably what this man did. He probably groaned, sir, have mercy. Sir, Please help me. Sir, could you do something for me? Sir, do you have any oil? Sir, do you have anything to help me with? Sir, is there anything you can do for me? The Bible said, amen, I believe you heard his cry. I believe you heard it. But the Bible just simply said that he passed by on the other side. Not only did he, you know, he didn't even want to walk by him. He just passed by on the other side. Woo! Just stay here now. God's going to help me, I believe. I'm feeling a little tiny bit better. Hallelujah. There's some folks that think the church is only to shout and run the aisles. They think the only purpose of the church is to be glorified, edified, sanctified, and fatified. I just made that last one up. How'd you like it? Hallelujah. Woo! Come on here. We think it's only for suppers, amen, and super plays, and fun and games. No, the mission of the church is to save the lost, heal the broken. My God, reach those that are broken by the powers of sin, the takers, the broken. That's the mission of the church. Hallelujah. Be touched by that crowd. Paul said, talked about the fornicators, the idolaters. And he said, and such were some of you. Woo. Don't forget the pit from whence thou wast dug. Don't forget where God found you. Don't forget what God did for you. Hallelujah. There's a world that needs God. Let me preach to you. Hallelujah. The Bible said faker number two came by. I said faker number two comes by. And the Bible said that he went so far as to go by and look at him. Yeah. That you believe what you want to, but I've got to believe that man through glassy eyes said, sir, please help me. I'm dying. Please, sir, could you do anything for me? Could you help me in any way? Could you help me? And no doubt, he just shook his head and said, sorry, sir, and marched on his merry way. Oh, my God, and left the man dying. But I thought, well, why? Why would they do this? First off, probably like a lot of folks, I just didn't want to get involved. I just didn't want to get involved. And I understand that there is a great, a wonderful thing about keeping thy nose in thine own business. But that doesn't apply to everything. Amen. When folks are broken, when folks are dying lost, when folks need help from God, you got to get involved. Amen. So to speak, you got a spiritually speaking roll the shirt sleeves up. You got to get down on your knees. You got to get a hold of God. You got to realize a man's broken. You got to realize a man's dying. You got to realize that you've got an obligation. There's a man dying, and we need some people. Hallelujah. They're going to touch. Others, well, they may have thought, well, you know, I got to be careful. I'm afraid that if I try to help him, that the same people that attacked him, they may try to kill me. And so I've got to be careful about that. Well, let me tell you something. The gospel is not without risk. Let me tell you, running buses is not without risk. Pastoring churches is not without risk. Reaching the lost and the broken is not without risk. Hallelujah. But you got to man up. You got to make up your mind. Whatever the cost, whatever the price, we've got to save men that are dying lost and going to hell. Hallelujah. Pray for me. Hallelujah. A little more here. I want to get to my message. there were some who, and maybe they just were afraid that they were going to get dirty. They didn't want to soil their hands. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory. Well, bless God. Sometimes it gets a little dirty. Thank God for the people who vacuum the rug. Hello? Thank God for the cooks that cook the food. Thank God for the men that change the bulbs. Thank God for the people, are you still here, that aren't afraid to get their hands dirty. Thank God for those who say, preacher, whatever's got to be done, I'll do it. If nobody else does it, you can count on me if the work of God is going to go forward. If Bible holiness will go forward, it'll take men and women who'll say, preacher, I'm not afraid to get involved. Hallelujah. Sister, we thought about giving you a Sunday school class. Oh, I'm too busy for that. Oh, really? Brother, I was thinking we'd like for you to, you know, teach the young boys. Well, I'd like to, but my Saturdays are tied up with other things. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, come on now. We're going to have a working at the church. Well, you know, so like the Bible, they are all with one excuse begin to, you know, with one consent begin to make excuse. I've married a wife. You know, since I've been building the church, we have what I call the honker society. I have people every day that drive by. If they see my truck, I see them in town.
I drove by your church the other day. I saw your truck there and I blew the horn.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
I saw you out there working. I blew the horn.
Thanks. Hallelujah. Go by your church that day, preacher. Things look good out there. I blew the horn. I wonder how you're doing. Woo. My God. We got the horn blowing society in the church too. Oh, hallelujah. As long as you can blow your horn. Would you like to, for you to come up, Sister Spook and Duker, and sing your song? Praise God. Well, Sister Spook and Duker, we're going to be cleaning the Vander's quarters. Could you come help us? Well, I'm pretty tied up this week. Woo! Glory to God. I said, glory to God. We got the horn blowers in the church. As long as you're tooting that horn, everything's okay. We need more than the horn tooters. We need some men and women that'll get a hold of the plow, get a burden, get a vision, get a cry to do something for God. And somebody say amen. I'm behind you, Pastor, all the way. Yeah, I felt a knife ever since I've been here. I could tell you was behind me. I've been feeling that sharp knife on my back ever since I arrived here. Woo! My God, somebody pray God to help me preach, will you? Hallelujah. I'm a little weak and weary, but I'm doing the best I can. If anybody wants to take over, come on. Hallelujah. Got the great prophet, Brother Webb, here. Well, then I'm going to carry on myself then. Hallelujah. Hey, listen. My God, it's like old Brother Mike Roberts when his little old church at Middle Creek flooded. And they're hauling out that carpet, old stinky carpet. And he's dragging it out. And this lady rolls by and rolls down the window.
God bless you, Brother Mike. There's a blessing in it for you. There's a blessing in it for you.
You know what I told him? I'd have said, bless God, I'm glad I wasn't there. I'd have said, well, get out, sister. We got a little touch of blessing for you. Drag out a little bit and see if God won't bless you some too. Oh, I would have ever done it. Don't ever doubt it. Yeah, but such a blessing. Come on, sweet child, get you a little bit of it. Hey, my God, it's easy to sit back, blow the horn, criticize, run down the church. Hey, give us somebody who's willing to stand in the gap, make up the hedge, do something in this dying and destitute hour. Like these three, you're going to hate this one. Hallelujah. I really think the main problem was they didn't want to spend any money. They was afraid it was going to cost them something. It's like the old black preacher that said to his church, he said, church, this church has got to walk. They said, let her walk, brother. They said, church, this church needs to run. They said, let him run, brother. He said, church, this church has got to fly. They said, let it fly, preacher. He said, it's going to cost money for it to fly. He said, let her walk. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah. Oh, come on here. My God. Hey. Oh, the preacher says, I feel like, hey, man, we ought to have an outreach. Yeah. Glory. But we're going to need to take up $1,000. Brother, they'll stop shouting right now. Boom. Want to kill a service? Take an offering. Hallelujah. In most churches. Oh, glory to God. Oh, let me tell you something. Hallelujah. It's going to cost something. I said it'll cost something. Not just money. It'll cost tears. It'll cost heartache. It'll cost prayers. It'll cost devotion. It'll cost consecration. It'll cost somebody who's willing to pay it all if we're going to get the job done. I know. You see, the message here today is this. As we've got a man in the ditch, we've got a man dying. Hallelujah. I said we've got a man dying. We got a man that's broken. Hallelujah. And we've had two fakers come by. But oh, I want to preach to you now. Well, what I'm looking for and what God's looking for is the difference maker. Woo! I said, God's looking for a difference maker. Hallelujah. After they passed by, a certain Samaritan came by. And when he saw where he was, he went to him. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, glory. I believe, no doubt, that he may have rolled him over. Oh, he said, sir, two men's passed me by. I don't know about that, sir, but I'm here to help you. Oh, what can I do? I've been wounded, sir. I'm bleeding. Could you stop the bleeding? Could you get me somewhere to safety? I believe I could do that. And he goes back to what he was, I don't know what he was on. I guess he must have been a horse or mule. I don't know. But he went and he got oil and he got wine and he poured in the oil and he poured in the wine. And the Bible said he put him on his own beast and took him to the end. Woo! Hallelujah! I've got a question for the church. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no wine of the Holy Ghost? Is there no healing? Is there no power? Is there no compassion? Hallelujah! My God, stir us! We've got to have some difference makers. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said we've got to have. We've got to absolutely, positively We've got to have some difference makers in this hour that we're living in, because the world is dying. The world is perishing. And what they're looking for is for somebody that'll make a difference. I want to preach to you. Amen. Compassion is not equal to compromise. You can hold your ground and stand your ground and still have compassion. You can stand your ground and preach holiness and have compassion. You can draw the line and stand for truth and still have compassion. My God, stir us and give us a cry and a heart of compassion. Preacher, what can I do? Well, the Bible tells about Jesus, and he was out one day, and the crowds had followed him, and they were weak. And he said, the disciples said, Lord, let's just send them away that they can go get something to eat. Jesus said, they'll be faint. They can't make it. We've got to give them something to eat. Oh, but they said, Lord, 200 penny worth of bread. What wouldn't even get started, wouldn't suffice with this crowd. Well, what are we going to do? Well, there. Has anybody got anything? Well, we got a lad here. They've got 5 loaves and a few fishes. But what is that among so many? Hallelujah. It's not much. But the difference was when they put that in the hands of the master. The 5,000 were fed and 12 basketfuls taken up. Hallelujah, son. Listen, you don't have to preach like Brother Ryan Ralston. You don't have to preach like Brother Gavin right now. But if you'll take the loaves you've got, if you'll take the fish you've got and put them in the hands of God, he'll make a difference maker out of you. You gotta give him what you got. My God, he'll take it and make something out of fragments of your life. Hallelujah. David marched into camp. All the big brass was there. All the camp meeting preachers was there. Hallelujah. Saul was there. But guess what? They were all cowed down. They were all hiding in tents. They were all crying for mercy. Little boy walks in. Slingshot hanging out his back pocket. Who's this little squirt? Huh? His brother said, little squirt you. We know the naughtiness of your heart. Trying to get up here and use service and trying to show everybody out by your preaching. Y'all still here? Hallelujah. Yeah. My God. And they bring it before Saul. I guess he was expecting some kind of a big giant. Here stands a little boy. I believe he was rather dejected himself. And he was a little kinder than his brothers. Oh, he said, son, let me reason with you. He said, you're a youth. And this man is a man of war from his youth. David wasn't fazed in the least. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like to give a little testimony, you said. I was taking care of my daddy's sheep. And a bear come out. Oh, my Lord, son, what'd you do? I slew him. Well, right, good testimony. I was out there another day and a lion come out. Oh, my God, son, how'd you get away? I didn't. I slew the lion also. I slew the lion and I slew the bear. And I'm ready for this guy too. Hallelujah. And a little boy with a slingshot became the difference maker that brought the giant down. Hey, listen, mama, with your prayers, you're a difference maker. Listen, young man. And young lady, with you get in here and serve God, you're a difference maker. Hallelujah. I remember when I went to Amosville. I'll never forget it long as I live. There was 2 people in that church. One old lady by the name of Sister Liza Settle. And she had a niece named Aloha Hitt. And the preacher had left. Everybody had left the church. There was no power. There was no heat. Grandma said it was probably in her 70s then. She got $200 a month. Check was all she got to live off of. Had an old milk cow and a few chickens. Lived in a little old house just down from the church. They were 5 months behind on the house, on the church payment. They had already given them notice that they were going to foreclose on it. And Grandma Settle would get Aloha to take her there to church. And she would sit there in the church, no heat, no preacher. And she would sit there. She'd go every service. And she'd sit there. And she'd pray. And Aloha said, Grandma, she said, I'm getting tired of going. It's just me and you. What are we going to do? And a little old woman, that little skinny woman said, Aloha, God is going to send us a man. Woo! Hallelujah. And a little old tiny woman weighed about 90 pounds was a difference maker. And that church is still going today because a little woman that looked insignificant was somebody who moved the heart of God. You say, preacher, what can I do? You're the one that may be holding Mecca tied. You're the reason why this church may still be going today, because you stood in the gap. You stayed on your knees and God turned it around. Can you lift your hand and praise it? Are you going to be a difference maker? I said, are you going to be a difference maker? Are you a faker? Do you have the genuine? Is your mind made up? Are you waffling back and forth? My God, give us some men and women that's got a determination for God. A little bit more and I'm going to shut down here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. William and Evangeline Booth went down in the slums of England. They threw rocks at them. They threw rotten tomatoes at them. They threw potatoes. They threw everything. They beat them. They busted their drums and stuff up. But they just kept on going back until they started what was called the Salvation Army. And I know as far as holiness, it's nothing like what they started. But you'll have to give them credit. Amen. They beat the bands. And they did something to turn that place upside down. My God, where are the difference makers? I said, where are the difference makers in our generation? I'd like to be one of those difference makers, wouldn't you? David Wilkerson went to New York. Times Square was nothing more than a drug addict alley. That's where that was the heart of the drugs. Do you realize now that Times Square is the safest and most beautiful place in all of New York City? They tell me the most beautiful place in New York City is Times Square. You know why? Because one old boy said, I'm going to be a difference maker. Hallelujah. My God. This church is to be a city set on a hill. You're to shout out. There's a world full of takers. There's a world full of broken. My God, when are we going to reach out and make a difference? I read or heard about a man that had a fire. This bunch of row houses had a fire. A little boy in the top window of one of these row houses stuck his head out. And he cried, somebody save me. Somebody save me. Somebody save me. Everyone it seemed was paralyzed. Then an old farmer saw a downspout with them old sturdy cast iron downspouts. And he began to climb that downspout. It was white with heat. Every hand was, it was just burning his hands. But he climbed up, he told the little boy, he said, get on my shoulders. Back down the downspout he came, rescued that little boy. It was later discovered that all of his family had perished. They couldn't find anybody, and so find any relative for this boy to take him. So the judge decided we'll have a day in court. We'll let people come and present their cases to why they should have this child. The doctors and the lawyers, the rich poured in there, and one after another they got up and began to make extravagant claims of what they'd do for this little boy. Finally, when they were all done, the judge says, "Did anybody else have anything to say?" And the old farmer in his old plaid shirt and his blue jeans. Could I help you? He said, "Yes, sir, I'd like to have that little boy there." And the judge said, "Well, sir, what can you offer that these have not offered?" He said, "Well, sir," he said, "I really can't offer even what they've offered." He said, I can't match their claims. He said, "I'm just a farmer." He said, "I'll give him a good bed. I'll give him warm clothes. He'll have all he needs to eat. I'll see to it that he goes to school." And he said, "I'll see to it that he's loved." And the judge said, "Well, sir, well, I mean, is that all?" He said, "No, there's another reason why I'd like to take him home with me." And he pulled his hands out from behind and unwrapped the bandages and showed the scarred and burnt and blistered hands. And he said, "Sir, I'd like to take him home with me." Because he said, "Most of these people that have asked for this little boy were in the crowd that watched the fire. But," said, "sir, I'm the man that climbed the downspout and rescued his life." And the judge pounded the gavel and he said, "He'll go home with you, sir." "He'll go home with you. But Gabbard, I'm confident you've got a lot of scars on you. I'm confident you've got a lot of scars in your back. Brother Webb, Brother Roston, we've all got lots of scars. But I tell you what, by the grace of God, brother, when the fire breaks out, I'm going to climb the downspout again. Hallelujah! I'm going to reach somebody else. I've got a burden. I've got a desire. I'm going to reach one more. I want to be a difference maker in my generation." Stand to your feet. Raise your hands this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, glory.